Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. So let's talk about the fact that you were courageous enough to start your business and you have the drive to build your business. But let's face it, there are times when it feels like marketing is just too dang hard and time consuming. I hear this all the time. And so often people quickly go to social media and running ads is the only way to build their business. But then when I ask them, what is your number one way that you gain clients? They say word of mouth. So in this podcast episode, we're talking about word of mouth marketing in a whole new way. My guest today teaches that word of mouth referrals aren't reliable because they happen on other people's terms and only when they think about you. So in order to ensure that you have a steady stream of referrals, you need a system, and that system is built on your relationships. Oh my gosh, I know. As soon as I said that, you probably thought, I do not want to ask my friends and family to support me in my business. I know that can feel so scary to tap into your network, but this is why I'm having the conversation with my guest today, because she is going to give you a way of doing this where you don't have fear and it doesn't feel icky when you talk to your friends or your family. She talks about selling through your network, not to your network. It's a very powerful message, and I know you're going to really enjoy this because she really breaks it down in a way that makes it feel great. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. Barb Betts is a sought-after keynote speaker, seasoned real estate expert, passionate educator, and the CEO of a thriving boutique brokerage in Southern California. Barb has delighted countless stages, and whether she's teaching on referrals, authenticity, or leveraging relationships, Barb brings an honest, compassionate, and transparent approach to every single stage and podcast. As a real estate professional with her 20 years of experience, she also hosts a podcast called Relationships Are Your Superpower. Barb is filled with experience and educates business owners on the exact systems, processes, and knowledge necessary to succeed in any market. Plus, she is a lovely human who has so much fun when she's sharing. Barb and I had so much fun in this conversation. I can't wait for you to laugh and learn along with us. So I'll turn it over to Barb. Barb, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to have you as a guest on the podcast.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am thrilled. So you and I connected, and we're going to be talking about referrals today because you just blew my mind with how you approach this whole idea. But before we jump into all of that, will you tell everyone who might not know your name yet a little bit about you and your business?
Yeah, thank you for that. So my name is Barb Betts. I live in sunny Southern California. I have been a real estate broker for 20 years. I built a thriving real estate business and ended up opening my own boutique brokerage with my amazing husband, who's my business partner. And during my real estate career, I found my passion for teaching and educating and inspiring others. And that has really transitioned into a thriving keynote speaking career, consulting career in all business spaces. And my superpower is that I teach business owners how to grow their referral and revenues by leveraging relationships. And I have a passion to share that with anyone that wants to listen.
I love that so much. And I really appreciate so much that you come at it from relationships. And I think a lot of people think about it in that way. But all of a sudden, we hear this word referral, mm-hmm. and it scares the pants off people. Like I mm-hmm. tell, I'll talk to people and I'll say, what's the number one way that you gain new clients? And they'll say, referrals, word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And yep. then I say, okay, well, let's get you some more referrals. Immediately, it's like frozen feeling yeah. of like it's scared. So like the person is scared to make the ask. So yep. I want to hear your take on all this referral talk.
Oh, there's so much. But let's start with, you said two magic words there. You said referrals and you said word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And let me share it from a different perspective. So as I teach business owners across the nation this concept, the first thing I ask when we sit down is, Amanda, how do you get your business? Amanda's going to say, by referral. The next question I'm going to ask you is, Amanda, how did you get those referrals? Amanda's usually going to say to me, well, people just call me. And that's when I say, great, you have a fantastic word of mouth business. But how I want to reframe word of mouth in your mind is that word of mouth are accidental referrals. Word of mouth is not a stream of business you can rely on because you did nothing to earn it. Now, what you did do was you did a good job when you did it, right? Mm-hmm. So you were a great financial advisor to the client, or you sold them insurance and you did a great job and you're doing a great job, and they are excited to tell all their friends about you, which is fantastic. What I teach is different. What I teach is actually applying a system to those relationships, how to build them, nurture them, deepen them so that you can leverage them with a system so that you can rely on a steady stream of repeat and referral business or retention, depending on which business you're in.
I love this so very much. First, because I love that you called attention to the fact that we cannot rely on it unless we're doing something to proactively get in front of it. It's okay. lovely when it just happens. It's fantastic, but that's not a steady stream of business, which is why it feels so scary to rely on it. And the other part is, I love a good system. So I'm all excited about this now.
Yeah. It really does make the difference. The first thing is wrapping your head around it. The first thing is understanding, like, okay, if I actually put some effort and energy and thought behind these relationships, I might be able to not have to do the other traditional ways of getting business in whatever business you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I'm passionate about. So if you flip it around to the real estate industry where I come from, it's door knocking. Well, I door knocked beginning of my career, got chased by a dog.
Oh my gosh.
Ran down the street. Thank God there was no Ring doorbells back in the day because it would have been, actually, I wish there was, because I wish we had footage of this.
Right.
Cold calling, which, oh, by the way, is mostly illegal because most people are on the do not call list. So don't do that. Internet leads, people that just care about the house. They don't care about a relationship with you. They're just the quickest way to the bottom line. And in most industries, there's these different ways of cold or transactional way of doing business. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about working by relationship is once you create the system and once you apply the system and once you leverage the system, then you can rely on it and you don't have to do all those other things. And the payoffs are balance, happiness, profitability.
Yes.
It makes such a difference when you're doing something that you enjoy and you can rely on it.
Mm-hmm. You're bringing up so much about the system and reliability and all of that. And I'll also interject, which I'm certain you've experienced. And we really hinted at it at the beginning, which is people being scared, nervous, worried, whatever word we want to use here, to make the ask. Specifically, when I'm working with someone in the service industry, doesn't matter what kind of service it is, it's like, okay, tap into your network. People immediately say, I do not feel comfortable asking my friends and family to refer me to someone else. So how do you kind of go into that conversation?
It's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yay.
Because this is how I view it. It all has to start with how you're thinking about this ask, right? And one concept I want to share with your viewers or your listeners is that I want you to think about when you're asking someone to help you. That's what you're doing. First of all, you're asking to help you. But secondarily to that, it is not about selling to your friend or family member. It's about selling through them.
Ooh, that's so good.
And when you wrap your head around the fact that you are not asking Amanda to buy anything from you, you're not asking Amanda to buy a home with you, you're not asking Amanda to invest her funds with you because she may be very happy with her financial advisor. You're asking Amanda to share you with people that she thinks would be a good fit for you. And you're asking it in a way, I use the magic words, can you do me a favor? Friend, I need your help. Yes. When you ask in that way, how can that friend or family member not want to help you if there's a foundation of a true relationship in place? And then the secondary thing I share is, in my world, it's all about deposits and withdrawals. And it's about how many deposits have you made in someone's life? And typically, when you're uncomfortable asking someone for business or talking about your business in that way, it's because you haven't made enough deposits. Because when you've made enough deposits into someone else's life, you have the balance to take a withdrawal. And making deposits is the system, right? I teach you how to systematically show up in people's lives as a relationship, truly loving and caring about them, so that that day when you do need to call Amanda and ask her for some help, you don't feel uncomfortable asking because you have poured yourself into Amanda's life.
Gosh, this is so good. And I can't wait to hear more about this system, but it's really making me think about my book launch. And I've publicly said during the writing, pre-sale, and launch of my book, I have never asked for more favors in my entire life during this. And it, every time I did it, I was like, gosh, this is like I'm asking for another one. But the interesting part was that the way in which I did it, which I'm not saying what I did was perfect, but the way in which I did it was anytime someone said, keep me posted on your launch, I'd love to help to support you, like absolutely wrote that person's name down. I had, like, they're in a spreadsheet. Like, I knew exactly who had said, keep me posted. So it's not like I was asking all friends and all family to like promote my book everywhere. It was those people who had actively already said, I want to help you promote this thing. And then in each of the, hey, I'm asking for a favor, which I was very clear every time. I was like, just so you know, it's coming again. Here's this favor I'm asking
for. Here I come.
Right. And I would always say, I understand if you can't do this. Like if now doesn't work because of timing or whatever, it's fine. So they always had an out. And I just remember thinking, I was so grateful to everyone who just proactively said, let me, like, how can I help you? But it's making me think those are the people who I've helped in my life. And it's not like I was keeping a tally. I just have helped them in some way. So they were wanting to reciprocate.
Absolutely. People want to help other people. And, you know, the way I look at this as well is if I don't ask you for business, then if your friend or family member has a bad experience with someone in my industry, that's on me. That's my fault. Because there is a true foundational principle that you do not get what you don't ask for. And when you don't ask your friends and family for help in your business, they think you don't need it.
Right.
They think you don't need the help.
Right. So they're not going
to be. Amanda's got that covered.
Yeah.
I don't, Amanda doesn't need me to buy a book.
I've never really thought about it in that way. I definitely have thought like the answer is no if you don't ask. I tell myself this every day of like asking people to be on the podcast when I was interviewing people for the book or whatever. Like the answer is no unless you ask. But I've never thought about it in terms of like if you don't ask, like I'm thinking about people's names, my friends' names, like they could need help with something right now and I have no idea what they need. But if they asked me, I would go do the thing.
Yeah. And it's all about asking in a way that doesn't make you feel like a slimy salesperson.
Right.
It's all about asking in a way that truly comes authentically. I'm asking you to help me. And insert, I want to get my message in front of more people. I want to make sure that every single person is taking their financial portfolio is taken care of in a way that helps them get to their goals. In my world, it's I want to make sure that the person that you know that's buying or selling real estate or just has a real estate question understands the ins and outs of this market and understands how to be strategic, understands how to navigate these high interest rates or insert whatever's going on in your business or your industry. Mm-hmm. I really want to make sure that these people are taken care of. Mm-hmm. Can you do me a favor, Amanda? When you come across someone, insert what you need. Mm-hmm. Can you do me a favor and introduce them to me? Mm-hmm. Or use the word connect. You'll learn if you pay attention to me long enough, I actually hate the word referral and I do not use it in any of my dialogues. Mm-hmm. I use it when I'm teaching business owners,
right,
but I do not use it outward facing in front of clients, and I don't recommend you do either. Because the second I asked you to just introduce me to a friend or connect me, mm-hmm. did that feel slimy?
No, not at all.
It doesn't.
Oh, I love that. So in case anyone missed this, it's like rewind. And instead of using the word referral, use the word, can you introduce me or can you connect me? That's the ask. Introduce or connect are better words than referrals to actually getting Absolutely. The referral.
1,000%, 1,000%, especially these days. You know, there's so many referral marketing programs and referral kickbacks. And, you know, in real estate, we can't do that. That's illegal. In real estate, we actually have RESPA, which is a federal Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, way too technical for your listeners, but we legally cannot give a kickback for a referral. I can't promise you anything for a referral. So I had to do things differently.
Right.
In other industries, like you can, as an author, you can say for every book you know, sell for me, I give you X. Like you can do that. Right. A lot of industries can. But when you, and that's the problem with the word referral, is referral programs are traditionally known for, I get something by doing something for you. And I don't want that in my business. I want you to truly want to help the person that then you're going to send my information to. I really want to help that person. And of course, I'm going to reward you and thank you and pour love on you. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come with that icky salesperson mentality. And it's also saying, I just want to help. Right. I'm not selling to Amanda. I want Amanda to help her friends and family by connecting them to me. And that's a completely different mindset than this word referral that is just overused and, in my opinion, icky.
Right. It's really interesting to think about it in this different way. And in the online space, so I primarily work with online businesses, but there are some brick and mortars as well. But for me, that really comes into play with affiliate marketing, which I don't think there's anything wrong with affiliate marketing at all. However, some people have said like, oh, I don't like using affiliate links because there's an incentive, so you can't really trust it. I hope that there's a change in what we can, maybe we call it something different. I don't know. But it's like, I hope there's a change because I don't know about you, but for me, just so everyone is very aware, if I have an affiliate link to anything, I trust that company. I trust that person. I trust that product. I trust that service. Like I don't just willy-nilly sign up for affiliate programs of things.
Yep.
But if it's a software, a person or whatever, like I really trust in it. And that's because I'm putting my name behind it. So I don't know. But I also know it's done in a weird way too.
Well, in affiliate marketing, right, think about the relationship. This is where it all comes down to relationships. This is where the foundation of everything I teach. I cannot teach you how to generate referrals if I don't teach you how to generate relationships and leverage them and deepen them. I can't do it because that's exactly what you said is so true. A referral is a transfer of trust, period. If I introduce you to my best friend, I am transferring my trust in Amanda to my best friend, Katrina.
Right.
Period. And so Katrina has to trust that I have a relationship with Amanda. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to the relationship. So when you talk about affiliate marketing, right, you have to trust these people that you're pulling those links from. Because I will be honest with you, I am the same way if I see an affiliate link, if it's not from someone I trust.
Right.
Now, I follow a lot of these female influencers out there. There's a few that I love that, quite frankly, if I ever run into them, we're going to be best friends.
Right.
But I trust them because I've followed them along. Mm-hmm. I've watched them be real. Mm-hmm. I've watched them be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I've watched them be honest about a product and be like, you guys, this eyeliner actually really sucks.
Yes.
That's someone I'm going to trust. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they're being authentic. And we can get into a whole authenticity conversation because I love that too. But at the end of the day, you're going to trust someone, the person you were connected to, at the level you trust the person that sent them to you.
Oh, and that's why I think when we look at our marketing and we're like, what gets us the quickest sale, the easiest sale, all things lead to super quick and easy money, not in a sleazy way. Mm-hmm. It's like from a referral that someone trusts a lot. It's that family member or best friend that's like I don't even do, I think about it how if I am like, if someone on Instagram talks about that eyeliner, I will probably go and research that eyeliner and look at it, read other reviews. But if my best friend like said, you have to buy this eyeliner, I would just buy the eyeliner.
Agreed. 1000%.
Hey there. I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal, and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you, or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support, and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
My best client, her name's Heather and Christian. They have been, when I say my best client, meaning in real estate, people buy and sell. It used to be every 6 years. Now it's, I think, jumped to like 12 or 15 years, something crazy like that.
Really?
She's done three transactions with us. They bought a home, they sold that home, they bought another one. Three transactions. I have known them for 17 years. Mm-hmm. So when I say best client, it comes from a perspective of how many people Heather and Christian have connected us to that have bought and sold real estate. And then it starts this like family tree, right?
Right.
Heather's the type of person now where her people that she sends us to trust her so much, I could walk in and just bring a contract. Mm. Frankly, if there was a legal way to do it, she could take the contract to them.
Right.
That's how much they trust her. Mm-hmm. And therefore they trust me because of their trust and her trust in me.
Right.
And if people understood that there is a foundational principle that a lot of sales trainers teach, and I'm going to say something that is a little controversial, but it's true. Sales trainers will tell you, and you've probably heard it before, if someone knows you and likes you, they'll trust you. Mm-hmm. And that's BS.
Right.
Because quite frankly, if you think about it, there's probably a lot of people in your life that you know and you like, but you don't necessarily trust them yet because they haven't given you a reason to trust them.
Right.
And that's where the system comes in, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't give someone a reason to trust you, they're not going to send you business or connect you with others or do business with you, frankly, just because they think you're cool.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way.
Right. I totally agree. And I use the know, like, and trust phrase often. I think it's three separate steps, though. I don't think 1 + 1
Agreed.
Equals 2. I think it's
Agreed.
Someone has to know about you first.
Agreed.
And then they have to say, yeah, I like this person. And then they have to trust you. Like, it's
Agreed.
It's a step.
It's step by step. And trust, this is the other thing that's interesting, Amanda, is trust is twofold. Because I had someone challenge me this week at an event I was at, and they're like, okay, well, trust, that's, you know, you showing up, you having integrity, you being honest. And I said, no. Trust is twofold because I can trust you to pick me up from the airport. Mm-hmm. I can trust you to be on time to meet me for lunch. Mm-hmm. Trust is not just personal integrity, though. That's personal integrity. It's also professional competence. Mm. I can trust that, again, you're going to pick my kids up from school because I'm stuck on an appointment. But that doesn't mean I trust you with my financial portfolio.
Right.
It doesn't mean I trust you with my insurance policies. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I trust you with my skincare. Mm-hmm. Insert whatever you do. How are you going to prove to these people that they can trust you in mm-hmm. a professional capacity? That's the real missing factor that I see business owners are missing in this gap mm-hmm. between know, like, and trust.
I love that reframe of that because you're totally right. And I would say it's not always necessarily a negative thing. Like, I'll go on the record right now and tell everyone, like, I am not a camper. So if I ever tell you this is the tent you should buy, you should not trust me in that decision.
That's great. That's great.
Like, definitely don't trust that because I don't know what I'm talking about. That you know? Yeah. And it's not a bad thing. It's just I don't know that information. And so I say it in that kind of joking but very serious way of like, it's not a bad thing if you don't have the competence in something. We just need to know where we're trying to get that trust.
Exactly. But if you're asking for business in something that you are an expert in,
right?
How are you going to create and close that gap of trust? Like, that's the real conversation is how do you close that gap of trust?
Yeah. So how do they? I know everyone's like, and we're waiting here on pins and needles.
Everyone's like, and we're waiting yes. for the magic formula.
Yes.
So obviously there's so many things to talk about in this capacity.
Sure.
And we only have time to talk about, you know, a few pieces of it. But I would say the number one thing you have to do is you have to create the trust. How do you create the trust? You don't just create the trust by showing up on social media and, you know, you don't just create the trust by talking about what you do. It's like you have to create a pathway for them to actually trust you. And mm-hmm. so in my world and most business owners' world, I do believe you still have to do good old-fashioned marketing.
Yes.
Period. But there's also two types of marketing. There's marketing to sell. That's like the flyer on your doorstep for the lawn service. This is what we do. This is how much we charge. Mm-hmm. We'll do your lawn better than anybody else.
Right.
Okay. Then there's marketing that's valuable to the person and comes from an education standpoint. Mm-hmm. And that's the marketing I teach that is the connector. Because if I educate you on how good I am at what I do in a way that educates you, mm-hmm. now you're going to listen. If you don't have your financial portfolio with me, but I am constantly sending you and emailing you and mailing postcards and all the other things that I think are valuable in the marketing space, tips about investing, mm-hmm. financial strategy tips, whether you're my client or not, you now are connecting the dots that I might be good at what I do. Mm-hmm. If I'm a skincare professional and you don't come get a facial from me or Botox or insert whatever it is, but I'm constantly sending you free, mm-hmm. valuable tips about skincare, tricks, my favorite products. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. I'm creating trust that I might actually know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. In the real estate space, I always talk about the best way I can describe it is a just listed postcard is marketing to sell. Mm-hmm. A postcard that talks about all the different ways that an interest rate is actually calculated. Right? Whether you own a home or not, interest rates are a very mysterious thing.
True.
Most consumers do not know how they are calculated.
Nope.
There's actually a formula. So if I send you a postcard that educates you on that formula versus mm-hmm. my just listed post, which one makes me stand out as I really know what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely the interest rate one.
So valuable education because, and here's the other thing I always teach. The valuable education about the interest rate is whether you're buying or selling a home or you are going to live in your home for 25 years, you're mm-hmm. interested in that piece of marketing. Mm-hmm. The just listed post is only for the people that are buying and selling it.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
That does not communicate value at all. That communicates, I took a pretty photo and I have a listing and I want you to know somebody who wants to buy it. That is completely transactional marketing versus relational marketing, which is educational marketing. Mm-hmm. And if you figure out how to do that and you do that enough to people who already know you and like you, mm-hmm. you've created and closed that gap of trust.
I love this so much because anyone who's been around here at this podcast for a while knows I love content marketing because of this. And so that's what they're used to hearing is content. And I'll get the pushback, Amanda, it's hard for me to be consistent. I don't know what to say, blah, 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 blah. What I hope everyone just heard is how valuable it really is and how impactful it can be because everyone, you know, just like people say referrals is their number one source. Like if someone were to ask me, Barb, if you were to ask me, Amanda, what's your number one source of clients? I would say my podcast. And it's because of that. People say, I can't believe how much I've learned from your free podcast. And so therefore, they trust me. They know who I am. They've somehow decided, I think I like her. And, and then they're like, you know what? I took that action that Amanda suggested on that one podcast episode. And it worked. I should work with her as my coach. And that's how it works. And it's so amazing. But I understand the friction of like getting started with content. And so I'm really hopeful that so many people just heard what you said and are willing to get through that friction because you can push through it and it is so good on the other side.
Yeah, I hope so too, because what I can tell you is I've built a 20-year real estate career that has been sustained off of relationships. Mm. I have done no other marketing in my entire career. 20 years. I own a real estate brokerage. Every single one of my agents follows this formula, and they are very successful. This has sustained us through any real estate market we have served in. Mm. I have taught this to my insurance agent. I have taught this to my financial advisor. I have taught this to my attorney. They all do it. I have an attorney who does this kind of marketing.
I love it. We need people that are doing that in all services.
And I still haven't found one business model that it doesn't work in. Now, one thing that I specialize in my consulting side of my business is going in and helping businesses figure out how to do the trust marketing because it is different. I gave you a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. You brought up a good point. Yours, because of what you do in the online space you do it, is probably your podcast and I would argue probably Instagram.
Yeah,
the
Instagram
more you
does.
Can do valuable education in those spaces, like you're not going to create a network across the United States and mail them a bunch of postcards.
Right.
That probably wouldn't work for your business, but email marketing would.
Yes, and email
social media,
is like the
and
thing.
And podcasts, absolutely. So it's about figuring out what fits into your business model, but I would challenge, give me a business model and I'll tell you how to market. If I learn enough about your business, I can tell you the solution to that trust-based marketing.
I 100% agree. I know you could, and I know it's possible at the same time.
It is definitely possible. What it takes is it takes the mindset and then it takes the whole beginning process of leveraging the relationships, knowing who the relationships are, creating a systematic way, unexpected extras. I teach a whole formula because it doesn't just come down to, okay, let me mail you a bunch of postcards and then you're going to call me. That is false. Mm-hmm. That marketing plan is what closes the gap, but there's a whole foundational principle to the like formula. Like you said, you know, people aren't just going to like you off the bat.
Right.
You can be cool on social media, but do I really like you? And have you shown an interest in me? Which is where the relationship marketing comes in.
Right. So you would suggest creating some sort of content that's educational for anyone listening to this podcast. If you want to use relationship marketing, creating educational content is where it's at.
Absolutely.
And that could look like, I'm just inserting information here, but it could look like a blog, a podcast, or a YouTube channel.
Like 1,000%.
That's really where we are in the world of what that could be. And so therefore that they're creating this content on a regular basis, whatever regular is for that person, but consistent. And then how do they bake in that, I mean, you said unexpected surprises, I think is the phrase you used, which I love.
Unexpected extras.
So some like that or another, like what's that baked
in? Yeah, there's a whole formula for that. So this all goes into the deposit category. So if you think of deposits as the spoke of the wheel, right? And all these like little injection points that you can put into this category. So deposits show up in so many different ways. And this really does depend on what kind of business you're in. But let's just think of you as you're in some kind of client-facing business where you've got a book of customers, people that work with you already or have done business with you. This is all where you have to know things about your clients. You have to invest time into the relationship. So when I talk about unexpected extras, it's things like outgoing connection. Outgoing connection can be as simple as a text message, a DM, an email, a video, a face-to-face cup of coffee, mm-hmm. right? You're making a connection to someone else, right? In my world, I teach just checking in on you. Hey, Amanda, I was just checking in on you. I hope you're doing well. Hope you still love the house. How are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. Some way to start a conversation, right? So just check-ins. I teach you how to systematically do it and how to systematically connect. But other unexpected extras are the power of social media, mm-hmm. right? I always like to say people are telling you everything you need to know online. The question is, are you listening?
Yes.
Because we scroll and our clients and our potential clients are telling us things every single day that are reasons to, in my world, I love to talk about taking the online offline, mm-hmm. right? So let's just say, Amanda, today on social media, you share that, God forbid, your beloved pup passed away. It happens to all of us, right?
Yeah.
And we all know if you're an animal lover, you love that animal more than
yeah.
some days your family, right? Because right? They don't talk back to you. And they're
always happy to see you.
They're always there, right? If I take the time, you'll see sitting on my desk, I know mm-hmm. you people, you know, if you're listening, you can't see, but I have note cards piled around mm-hmm. my office. If I take the time to write Amanda a handwritten note, just letting her know I saw that her pup passed away and how brokenhearted I am for her and how I hope the memories mm-hmm. stay with her forever. And I just send that off into the mail. What did I just do? Amanda's going to be like, oh my God, Barb noticed.
Yeah.
Barb
and took the time.
And took
the time to do that.
Birthdays. Mm-hmm. Sending birthday cards. I am a proponent of handwritten birthday cards. Mm-hmm. Unexpected extras from the perspective of someone's sick mm-hmm. and you live in a community and they're a client and they live in that community too. And you stop by and you drop off chicken soup on their porch, mm-hmm. go to Costco, get a tub of the chicken soup, drop it off on their porch. Mm-hmm. You want to wow somebody?
Yeah.
Because they shared how crummy they're feeling right. on social media. Amazon. I don't care where you live in the world. You can get someone an Amazon package yeah. the next day
yeah.
for the most part, mm-hmm. if not 2 days. So an example I always use is if, you know, I have a client who posts that they're going to be a grandma. Mm. They're just now sharing the news that they're going to be a first-time grandma, and they are so excited. Mm-hmm. What shows up on their doorstep 2 days later?
Right.
Grandma books.
Yeah.
And when you start showing up in people's lives like that, and you really care at a deeper level, or they ask for something, mm-hmm. they need help, and you are the connector that brings that person to them. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways that you can pour into people's lives in an unexpected way, and all you're doing is depositing. Deposit, deposit, mm-hmm. deposit, deposit, show up, show up, show up. And you do that enough, mm-hmm. then when you really need something, you have permission to ask.
Oh, I love That's that so much. It's so good. And it's what I'm hearing here is that you're very intentional. So yes. when you're scrolling on Instagram, you're not, I mean, maybe there's some times where you're just scrolling, but you know, for the most part, when you're really thinking about it, you're taking note. You are very intentional with like, oh, Amanda said this.
Yep.
How can I support her in any way? Yep. And I would also share, because there's a lot of people that I work with, depending on the industry, that don't have addresses, yep. right? We don't have addresses. That's a privacy thing, all of these things.
Agreed.
So we can't always send something, even though it's yep. awesome.
Yep.
If we can't send it, I think email is remarkable.
Yep.
Like we can do things like an Amazon gift card.
Exactly.
Or a Etsy gift card.
An ebook.
Or
you can
yeah.
send an ebook if you want to, if you know they need help with something.
Mm-hmm.
But what I, if you're in the online space, so if you're listening and you're in the online space, but you have clients, mm-hmm. you absolutely can reach out to them and say, hey, I want to send you something.
Yeah.
Would you mind giving me your address? Mm-hmm. And if they give it to you, use it.
Yes.
And I don't know many people in the world these days that don't, that really are that hypersensitive about their address. Because mm-hmm. let's face it, if your cell phone's tied to your home address, I can find it. I mean, there's right. so many ways these days. But I understand. Don't be creepy about it.
Right.
But if you messaged me, if you were my insert online whatever, mm-hmm. and you messaged me and were like, hey, Barb, I really want to send you something.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I grab your address? As we have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And again, you're not going to be doing this to people that you don't have a relationship with. That's like
right.
number one, right?
Yes.
Then of course I'm going to give you my address.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, okay, let's just say you don't have deep relationships mm-hmm. and you're trying to make them. Mm-hmm. Then hopping into their DMs and letting them know, how sympathetic you are about whatever they're going through, or happy you are about whatever they're going through, and mm-hmm. celebrating and encouraging will go 1,000 times deeper than just a comment.
Oh, you're
remember,
so right.
DMs are private.
Yes. You're so right about that. And, you know, I'm really in the headspace of launching this book, right? So all of these examples I recognize, not everyone's writing a book. However, I've had people reach out during this time frame that I have no idea if they've purchased the book, but they have celebrated with me in the DMs of Instagram, and it means the world to me. And so we have this private conversation. I then get to just chit chat with them and see what they're doing so I can celebrate them. And yeah. that, my friend, is free. I realize it's our time. So time is very, very precious. But because I think, and the reason I'm bringing that up is because oftentimes people that are listening to this podcast are early on in their entrepreneurship journey. And so many people, I'm going to call everyone out who thought this, like, well, I don't have the money for that. I can't send everyone a blanket or flowers or whatever. And I get that. No, we can't. We can sometimes. You can prioritize that over something else. Like, don't spend money on that Instagram ad that says boost this ad and send those flowers. But other times it can be your words. Sending a Loom video goes a huge way with people or a voice memo on Instagram versus just texting. Like that, yes, it's your time, but it is well worth it.
Well, and that's where you mentioned it. That's where I also teach these levels of relationship. And there's different groups of people in your life, and you do different things for them. Mm. Again, in other businesses, you can do this. And I am a huge proponent of you have to know the level of relationship you have with somebody and what the appropriate response is for whatever that thing mm-hmm. is. And this is all that we get down and dirty into, you know, when I teach this and I do consulting, like we get really granular into what does your business look like? How do you prioritize your people? How do you separate them? Because you do have to know that you are running an airline and you're not running Southwest. Mm. You are running an airline, Delta, American, insert whatever airline. They have first class, they have comfort plus, they have economy, mm-hmm. they have extra legroom, main cabin plus. I mean, they have a million different names, but typically you understand there's three different categories in an airline and they treat each category differently. Mm-hmm. And you've got to develop that for your business too and know who gets the chicken soup on the porch.
Right.
And who just gets a message of, I hope you feel better. And then you nurture and develop those relationships in different ways. And then people raise their hand as you go through this mm-hmm. process and identify as a deeper level of relationship. And then it's your job to expand on that. And one other thing I want to mention that you said is timing and mindlessly scrolling. And you are absolutely correct, mm-hmm. Amanda. If you open up my calendar, you will see every single day, most every day, an engagement hour.
I love it.
Engagement hour is social media engagement time where I am proactively looking for ways to deepen relationships. Mm-hmm. I am not watching my influencers that I love watching.
Right.
I am looking for clients. I'm looking for my spear. I'm looking for reasons to engage, take the conversation offline, and do the unexpected extras. That's an actual, I view it as lead generation time in my calendar. So you do have to be intentional about it.
100% yes. And I have told people this so many times. I like the phrasing engagement hour, but I tell everyone, like, I have told myself I am not allowed to open up the app of Instagram unless I can engage with at least 3 people in a meaningful way. So not just like hitting the like button. It's like really commenting either privately or publicly on their comments. And everyone's like, that's so interesting that you do that. I'm like, because otherwise I would just scroll. I have to tell myself to be intentional with this. Because
it has to be a system.
Right. It has to be. So thank you for sharing. I like engagement hour. That's good.
Yeah.
So I know everyone is going to want to really consume a ton of your information, which please go listen to her podcast. It is so good. You'll love it. But where can everyone find you, learn from you, work with you, et cetera?
Yeah, my favorite's Instagram. Instagram's my jam, I always say. So I'm just at Barb Betts. Really easy to find. It's B-E-T-T-S. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Facebook, I love Facebook as well, but Instagram's really where I connect. It is me answering all of my DMs. I love talking to people on Instagram. And then, of course, if you want to connect, go deeper, talk about something more, my website, barbbetts.com. I'm super easy to find. There isn't many of me out there. I'd love to connect and and have a conversation.
Yes. And go listen to the podcast. Relationships are your superpower.
Yeah. Relationships are your superpower. And it's a podcast where we talk about relationships with yourself, with others, and in business. Because I have a firm belief, if you don't have an authentic relationship with yourself, you can't have a relationship with anyone else.
I love it. I love what you're doing. Thank you for doing what you do in this world. I'm so grateful that you and I have connected in this life and in this online space. And I hope one of these days I get to hug you in real life.
Yes, we will definitely make that a priority.
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you.
I told you we had fun and that you'd walk away with specific ideas and actions that you could do to build your business. And I just loved how Barb shared with her fun-loving spirit all throughout this conversation. And so your next step is to take action with building trust. And I want you to think about how Barb was talking about the different layers of trust. And so we might trust someone to pick us up from the airport, but we wouldn't trust them with our financial portfolio. It's that professional idea of trust. And so really identifying, how are people trusting you, or how do you want them to trust you? And having that lens as you think about your marketing content is a great lens to think about. So if you go back and look at what you've shared on social media, or maybe what you've put in your emails, and you say, am I supporting that professional capacity of trust? Am I educating people on that topic? Go back and do an audit of your content and really see if it's working. And chances are, what you're going to find is that it didn't really build that education and that trust with your audience. And that's okay, because you've built the muscle of posting on social or sending those emails. And so all of that is great experience. But going forward, you want to really create content that really provides the trust and really builds upon that trust in a professional manner. And so I'd love for you to do that today. Take a peek at some of your content that you've already shared, and then decide how you're going to move forward with producing your marketing content in a way that builds on your trust. And I'd love for you to think about how you can utilize your network, your friends, and your family. So at the time that I'm recording this, we are in the thick of holiday season, and you're probably seeing a lot of friends and family, more so than normal. And so how can you tap into that and make those deposits into people's lives so that when you need that referral, it feels so much easier to ask for it? Or you can simply talk about your business with pride and be very excited about what you've built when your friends and your family ask you about it, when you're talking to them over this holiday season or anytime. And so I want you to take action today, because all the actions that you take today build trust for that future client that you'll have in the future. And until next time, I want you to give yourself lots of permission to use your relationships to build your business and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.